I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for Sports Day.
Beautiful day.
It's Sports Day with Dan Day.
Ole, 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 ole. USA, USA. Hands down, the best match anyone alive has ever seen the U.S. men's national team play in a World Cup game yesterday against Paraguay. I think everyone agrees. I am Dan Day, along with my cousin Vladimir Louisson. Vlad, it was a dream come true. It was nice. It was easy. It was fun. It was a United States team that looked like it had an identity. 4-1 win over Paraguay. And with the way the rules are now, let's be honest, keep it a buck. It's going to be really hard for the U.S. not to advance to the knockout round, at least as a wild card.
It's like 32 teams, right?
They get 32 teams. So you get two best teams in each pool plus 8 wild card teams. Now you have 3 points already, and you got a 3-goal differential.
Yeah, they literally just got to win the next game.
They can tie the next two games, honestly.
Right, but if they win the next one, they're pretty much in.
Oh, well, no, two and you're always through.
Well, depending on the goal differential, but you have a 3-goal differential right now. Plus three. You're up, you know, not only did
greatest
he win.
You at United plus three. States game.
Look. The own goal took the stress away. Once that own goal by Paraguay happened, it was you could tell the nerves were gone. They were first of all, like you said, keep it a buck. They were playing well in the first 5-6 minutes of the game. So U.S. played well to me, but there was some nerves. But then the own goal happened, and then from then on, you saw beautiful, beautiful football by U.S.
I think that first goal was absolutely important for this team psychologically, because you try to be a professional athlete, you try to say this and this and this, and I even kind of thought about this, and it was maybe in the back of many U.S. fans, but the U.S. soccer team's minds. Mexico, one of the other host countries, they were on their home turf. They were playing earlier this week, the day before, on Thursday against South Africa, and they scored in like the 8th minute. And you feel as though from the U.S., it's like, well, we got to score early, too. We have to match that. And when I said about 5 minutes in, I said, man, I hope they can get an early goal, too, so people will shut up and say, well, look what Mexico did. And lo and behold, boom, own goal. They see it go through the goal. They see that they pretty much matched at least the time that they got it in as next to Mexico. And from there, it looked like they were just free as they could be. What great passing. What great aggressiveness. Great goal kicking, just the way they played. Christian Pulisic, as good as advertised in that game, he looked like a guy that was in complete control. And it was absolutely one of those days that just made you feel special. And, of course, the new breakout star, Bellingham, he is unbelievable. We were talking to some guys that are insiders. They said you can expect him to continue to play at that high level, not just against Paraguay, but against Australia on Friday and the following Thursday against Turkey. That game was a complete game from the U.S. men's national team. I was enthralled. I was joking at the watch party that I was at Duffy's Implantation. I said, all I need is an early goal from the U.S., another early goal from the U.S., and another early goal from the U.S. And lo and behold, they pretty much did that. A no-doubter, putting the world on notice that this U.S. men's national team is not going to be a team of the past that is frustrating and that is going to falter in these big tournaments. After last night, now once again, you can't get too high on one game. You feel as though the talent's there. You got a lot of good guys. You've got guys that are playing at some of the top leagues in the world, whether it be Christian Pulisic, Weston McKennie, Sergio Dest. Also, I thought Chris Richards was fantastic last night. Almost got a couple of goals in there. Very good showing by the U.S. men's national team. And we have to give credit where credit is due. Mauricio Pochettino, the coach, seems like he's brought a more of a Argentinian, Brazilian attacking style of the U.S. men's national team, which in the past, let's be honest, Vlad, they haven't wanted to embrace that. They've kind of wanted to embrace their own style. And I think they're coming to the realization that that style's not working.
No.
It never has.
Nope.
It's been frustrating. Even the wins were frustrating in the past. Now, one game, once again, doesn't change everything. But remember the times in the past, Vlad, we'd win games like, let's say, Iran 4 years ago. It was just frustrating. It took Christian Pulisic almost breaking his you-know-what off to get a goal in that game. Yesterday, they looked like they knew what they were doing. They had good lines. They had good passing. And they looked like they had an identity. Sometimes you just have to realize what you're doing doesn't work, and you got to change it. Ask Italian fans. You believe in that counterattack. It's your identity. But soccer's changed. And if you don't change with the times, you get left out of the tournament like Italy has the past couple of tournaments. It's a U.S. team. One game. I understand that. And I think people that want to crap on Paraguay, they're one of the best defensive teams in the world. You're going to see these next two games they have against Australia and against Turkey, that they're going to be a lot better than people think they are. It's just the U.S. had them shook. Like Mobb Deep. Shook, Vlad. had them all out of sorts. So it was a great game. So what we're going to do, Vlad, take a deep breath. Feel good about ourselves for a couple of hours, and then get ready, because tonight could be one of the great 24 hours of your life, Vlad, and a lot of people here in the United States' life. The Knicks go for what many people thought was unthinkable, even this year at points, winning an NBA championship game 5 of the NBA Finals against the Spurs, 8:30 tonight from San Antonio. Can San Antonio psychologically bounce back from what happened to them on Wednesday night? And Vlad, you're going to explain to us the feelings you went through, but first I'll give you my very easy playing experience. I left 26 Degree Brewing in Pompano Beach at halftime. The score was like 27-point San Antonio lead. I said, I don't need to see the rest of this. I'm driving back home in North Beach. All the bars and restaurants have the game on. I'm looking through the door when I get to stop signs and stoplights, and I'm like, it looks like the Spurs are only up by like 6. That can't be right. My eyes must be deceiving me. Oh, no. Knicks have a historic comeback and win. Vlad, what was that night like for you?
Frustration.
Anger.
Not anger. Yo, you know what, Dan? And you know me better than most people. I wasn't angry. It was more frustrating. It was like, damn, now this is a best 2 out of 3, right? Mm-hmm. But also part of me was like, there's still a lot of time left.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, you know, now you go into, when you go into fan mode, you're like, all right, let's cut this to this amount by this minute mark. Right? Mm. And then, so the first half, it was just abysmal. Like, it was just terrible. But it's like, I've seen this team come back from 20-point deficits a lot the last 2-3 years. So they just need a run. But instead of having, like, that, you know, 20-0 run, you know, that it was more of like breaking a wall. It was like a 10-0 run, and then, you know, they exchange back baskets. Then they go on an 8-0 run, and then they exchange baskets. And then they go on another 8-0 run. So it was like they walked them down, bro. They walked them down. And, man, Dan, I'm not going to lie to you, bro. When they won, when OG hit the layup, I mean the tap back, and then
1.5 seconds left.
And then when Kat deflected the ball, and then Josh Hart blocked it, I can't recall the last time I shook. Like, mm-hmm. I was shaking. Like, Stunning Steve hit me up and was like, how you feeling? I'm texting and I'm shaking. And I'm like, oh, you know what I mean? Because I'm like, I'm not having a diabetic low sugar reaction here. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know I'm not having a low sugar reaction here. Like, what's happening? And it's just like, yeah, it was an out-of-body experience. Like, I was shaking. Like, I didn't come. It took me till yesterday to finally, like, come down from that victory. But, you know, task at hand.
Psychologically, the New York Knicks are the toughest team in the NBA. So, realistically, you would think a team that is that psychologically strong is going to find a way to win one of the next 3 games. If not tonight, we'll see what San Antonio has to offer. I thought, going back to New York, I was like, the world's about to find out. The Knicks are going to win the first 2. On San Antonio's court. San Antonio's going to come back and win the next 2 on the Knicks court, and everyone's going to be all up in arms. But if you ask both teams going into the series if they'd be okay with it being 2-2 after 4, they'd say fine. Well,
but it's context.
The Knicks did not follow that narrative, by the way. They
did
not follow that narrative.
It's context, you know? But yeah, no, that was a, you know, that was a great win, but you got to finish the job. It doesn't become legendary.
Once again, they're a psychologically tough team. I can't see them folding. I can't see them falling apart.
I don't see them. I don't see them folding.
Over the next three games, that would be what
I just want them to get it over with.
Of course.
Now, no, because as exciting as it would be to win at home, there will also be a sense of pressure. So just get it over with, San Antonio. Plus, 53% of the tickets bought for this Game 5 were bought by Knicks fans.
And it's funny because San Antonio put the geological block on the tickets.
Yeah.
That doesn't do it. That doesn't do much.
Let me tell you this, bro. It's one thing that's always going to be more loved than sports. That's money. And if somebody has a way of making some extra money, they're going to do it. So if somebody's willing, if somebody from New York, New Jersey's willing to spend an exuberant amount of money on a ticket, I think a Texas person will definitely sell that ticket.
There's always someone like me that's willing to sell that
because
ticket.
They could always. There's not.
I just don't like the fact that millionaire, billionaire people that either own teams or don't sell your ticket to. Don't tell me what to do with my ticket. Like, you're not a real fan if you sell it to the other team. Well, man, get out of here. Get out of here. I'm sorry. Everybody has their price. We know that.
Hey, man. The $1 million man told us.
I know. What was his name? Sapphire?
Sapphire had a price? You know what's funny? I just saw that episode the other day. I have a stream where they show, like, old pay-per-views, WWE pay-per-views, and they showed that, they showed the exact pay-per-view when, it was a SummerSlam, and she was supposed to wrestle Sensational Sherry, and she did it, and all of a sudden, later on that day, you see her all in her nice outfit with a crown. Sapphire got brought.
I was gonna say Sapphire never wrestled though, did she?
She was supposed to. She did.
Oh, she did?
Did one match with Dusty. It was a tag team, mixed tag team, and then she was supposed to fight Sensational Sherry, and then she got brought out. She saw the better half, the better life.
Speaking of Sensational, let's get to these headlines. A lot of good stuff. U.S. Men's National Team did defeat Paraguay 4-1 yesterday. Flo Balogun had a brace. They will take on Australia Friday, 3 o'clock in Seattle. If you can't make it up to Seattle, you can come right here at the Citadel and hang out with us while the game is going on. Check out all of our social medias for more details on that. You want some more World Cup action? Everybody does. 3 o'clock today, a little appetizer. Qatar versus Switzerland. Switzerland should win handily. Then this game at 6. Vlad, this is the game of the first weekend of the World Cup. Brazil and Morocco. If you're following at home, FIFA World Rankings, Brazil number 6 in the world, Morocco number 7 in the world. Welcome to the World Cup, Brazil and Morocco. That's some craziness right there.
That's crazy. You know, that game's in New York, New Jersey today. I mean, it's in New Jersey. At, what's it called? I can't call it by his
the
right
New phone. York, New Jersey.
Oh, New York,
Stadium.
New Jersey. Yeah, New York, New Jersey State. This is some BS with that Bulls. Anyway, the stadium that the Giants and Jets play, it's going to be crazy because you also got a lot of Brazilians who are going to be down there. They're probably going to be a watch party at Times Square, which also going to probably have a watch party for the Knicks.
And
so
money must just be flowing into New York right now.
Money must be flowing, but I feel bad for traffic. If you are trying to get around, I would advise you to leave early. Going and leave early leaving.
Get there now. Up the road in Foxborough, Massachusetts, at 9 o'clock, you get Haiti and Scotland.
There's going to be mad Haitians in the stadium the Patriots play.
We know the Scots travel well, too, though.
And then, true.
If that's not enough for you, at the stroke of midnight, you get two other teams from the U.S. group, Australia and Turkey, playing.
Where are they playing at? In Mexico?
Vancouver, Canada.
Oh, that's a 9 p.m. game over there. That's weird, though. That's weird. So would they rather a midnight game than a noon game right now?
Yeah, going to have to pace myself. So we get out of here at about 3:30. I might have to miss a little bit of Qatar-Switzerland. But then Brazil-Morocco. Then you get the Knicks-San Antonio Spurs. Maybe a little bit of Haiti-Scotland mixed in there.
Definitely the studio TVs don't love Vlad because last night they decide to go. All the TVs decide to go out.
Then after a full day, it seems like, of Brazil, Morocco, Haiti, Scotland, also throw in the Knicks and the Spurs. at midnight, you're just getting started, and you got to watch Australia and Turkey because you got to scout the ops. You got to go all the way till 2 o'clock in the morning watching that game. So definitely going to have to kind of, you know, keep my energy up and pace myself throughout this because I'm watching Australia, Turkey. I don't care what anybody says. I got to see the opportunities that we might be having. So
yeah. I'm watching either because I'm either celebrating or I'm, you know what I mean?
You're watching though.
I'm going to be watching, but am I watching because I'm celebrating or I'm watching because I need something to get my mind off a lot?
We'll find out at 8:30 tonight as the Knicks look for the gentleman's sweep of the Spurs.
Yes.
Marlins back to 500, 34-34.
Great win last night.
Look to win their seventh in a row at 410 against the Pirates. You can hear the game right here on 104.3 FM WQM and 560 WQM. Last night they beat the Pittsburgh Pirates 8-3. Sandy Alcantara, ever since I said he's been pitching so-so this year, has been pitching lights out.
Eight well, he innings, was pitching so-so.
Giving up 5 hits, 3 runs, striking out 7, including, congratulations.
Is a thousandth.
His 1,000th K as of his career. Following Dolphins minicamp, many are projecting Malik Washington to be wide receiver 1 due to his knowledge of the offense and his chemistry with Malik Willis. Mm. Do you want your wide receiver 1, 5'8", 5'9"?
What round do you think he's being selected in fantasy?
Not early.
Okay.
I'll just be honest with you.
Okay. That's all I just wanted to if that's your number one receiver, so be it. But
Devon Achane could technically end up being your number one pass catcher.
I mean, he's your number one player, so yeah.
College football analyst Phil Steele released his All-ACC list, which includes 16 Miami Hurricanes. His All-American list does include Malachi Toney, Mark Fletcher Jr., and Ahmad Moten. So the Canes getting some kudos as the season gets started. Miami Hurricanes are out of the running for Tampa Jesuit 5-star linebacker Caden Henderson. He plans to attend either Notre Dame, Texas A&M, or LSU. So the Canes have been able to flip some commits lately, not able to get Caden Henderson to stay close to home as he looks to go to, like I said, Notre Dame, Texas A&M, or LSU. Heat remain one of the favorites to land Milwaukee Bucks forward Giannis Antetokounmpo, but there is talk the Celtics could utilize a 3-team deal to get the Greek freak, which would give the Bucks more draft capital, which they are seeking. It's Giannis stuff, man. I'm just waiting for it to get done. We're all just kind of waiting. Tickets are now on sale for the 3 matches of Inter Miami's Phase 1 of Leagues Cup. They open play August 5th against Atletico San Luis. So not getting too far ahead of ourselves, but if you do want to get in early on those Leagues Cup matches as Inter Miami and the MLS take on Liga MX from Mexico, there you go. Atletico de San Luis. Yesterday, prior to the U.S. men's national team match against Paraguay, David Beckham was honored with a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. So David Beckham had himself a nice little day. He's out in Los Angeles. He gets a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. He goes and hangs out with his guy, Tom Cruise. Sees the U.S. men's national team, who he never played a game for, win. That was interesting why he was out there. I guess because he owns Inter Miami. He doesn't really have a direct tie to the U.S. men's national team. I mean, I could see him in an England match. I could see him even at a Argentina match because of the whole Messi, Rodrigo de Paul situation. But he is out there with Tom Cruise. Nothing more American than apple pie, baseball, and Tom Cruise chilling with David Beckham. You know.
That's different.
It was weird. The crowd was weird. Like Katy Perry and her.
Well, it's an LA crowd. An LA crowd, and
but they were acting weird.
But they don't. Because I don't think they know the sport.
Nah, that might be. They're confused.
They don't know the sport. I think they were asked to be there because.
Well, David Beckham knows the sport.
Well, Beckham knows the sport, but I think all the other people don't really know the sport. I think they were just there. And I think also, low key, after they seen what's going on in the NBA Finals, with you see all the celebrities at the Garden, they want to make it seem like, oh, this World Cup is also a celebrity, celebrity-fested event as well. And guess what? Football fans don't give a rat's ass about a celebrity.
No.
The celebrities are on the pitch, and that's who they root for. So, yeah, They were trying.
It's just nothing like basketball because you're so close to the action, and the celebrities can be right there on the court, and it's indoors, and the lighting is good, and celebrities are hobnobbing. Football, you're a little United States football, a little further away from the action. Baseball, you know, it's baseball. Soccer's, it's a little different, but yeah, they did look a little odd. And I don't want to forget about this. The Stanley Cup Finals continue tomorrow at 8 with Carolina Hurricanes holding a 3-2 series lead over the Las Vegas Golden Knights. The NHL draft begins on the 26th of this month as the Panthers have the 9th overall pick. So, looks like the Stanley Cup Finals, as I said earlier, it seems like for the first four games, Carolina just got outplayed overall by the Vegas Golden Knights, but found a way to tie it 2-2. And then in game, what would that be, 5? They just beat the Vegas Golden Knights. Now they have a chance to finish the deal. Very impressive. Very impressive. College World Series continues today. Omaha, Nebraska. 2 o'clock, it's Oklahoma and Alabama. And then at 7, it is Texas and Georgia. And don't forget, UFC 250 starts tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Live from the White House lawn. There's a lot going on. I don't know if I'm going to be tuning in to the old UFC 250 tomorrow night at 8. I like the idea of it being on the White House lawn. I just, man, there's a lot. We got World Cup.
Who's playing tomorrow in the World Cup?
We can look at that schedule next.
I'm going to look it up. Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
No. I'm really trying to figure out, like, why, like, what's out there for me.
If I'm locked into if I'm locked into Bosnia, Canada on a Friday afternoon, I'm going to be locked in on whoever they decide to put tomorrow night into the World Cup.
You know what? There's a lot of Ecuadorians down here. I'll watch Ivory Coast versus Ecuador at 7 p.m.
Sleep on either of those teams. Those teams are both sneaky good.
And then, Sweden versus, Tunisia?
Yeah.
We love Sweden.
Plus, you got the Stanley Cup final at the same time.
Yeah, so there's, and I mean.
From what I'm reading.
And it's a good card.
I've heard it's not that great.
It's a good card. It's not a great card.
Ah.
It's a good card. It's not a great card. And there's no heavy hitter.
I kind of looked last night.
There's no heavy hitter, like a name that's like, you know, that definitely is going to be the reason why the draw. You're only doing it because you want to see the pomp and circumstances.
I do like that. And aren't they giving away like 100,000 free tickets? Because it's basically just, it opens up to the mall. And, you know, once again, we'll see.
Yeah, keep his carcass over there, man. I don't want him in New York.
With that, we're not getting into that. With that being said, let's take a step real quick into the day spa. To celebrate Marilyn Monroe's 100th birthday this week, over 1,000 Marilyn Monroe impersonators gathered in Palm Springs, California. I mean, Marilyn Monroe, icon. I just didn't know there was that much, I don't know, still fervor for Marilyn Monroe.
You got to love a woman who's a notorious, like, you know, side piece.
She was legendary.
She
was not a side piece of Joe DiMaggio, though.
But she was the president's side piece.
That, unfortunately, is most likely true.
So, and... You know,
gotta be careful.
That's why it's funny to me.
Watch the movie Marilyn.
I didn't watch that, but that's what's funny to me is that the fact that everybody loves. She's America's favorite side piece.
She's an icon.
She's a side piece.
Not for Joe DiMaggio. Joe DiMaggio said it was his one true love,
and so was JFK.
JFK never said it was his one true love, and she never said JFK was her one true love.
No.
They're just messing around.
Oh, you were JFK's side piece. You were the president. She was the president's side piece.
He had a bad back. Just keep that in mind. Whenever somebody says something bad about JFK, they say he had a bad back.
Okay.
Seriously. I mean, I'm from a half Irish family. Trust me. Okay. We excuse everything, man, but he had a bad back. Hurt himself in a war.
Drinking Guinness. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Probably did a lot of that, too.
Shout out to her. Speaking of, rest in peace. You know, but yeah, she's America's favorite side.
Speaking of, last night I was about to bust out Guinness, champagne, tequila, whiskey, whatever. When that U.S. team hit, this World Cup has been fantastic. It always is. Say what you want to say about it. Two things that we really are focused on, Vlad, and both of them are happening tonight. I don't even know if I'm going out tonight. I think I might just stay in and watch all the fun action. It's World Cup, and it's NBA Finals Game 5. And it's going to be exciting. We're going to talk next about the World Cup. Then, Vlad, we're going to talk about your New York Knicks fandom experience and what tonight means for you, because it has to be almost poetic with everything that has happened in your lifetime in other people's lifetimes, and tonight what you are on the precipice of. I don't know, Vlad, I've been there. I've been right where you're at. It is fun, scary, exciting, nerve-wracking. It's all the feelings I had last night before the U.S. men's national team against Paraguay. All that next here on 104.3 FM WQAM.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
How I have longed for the day that in the World Cup, U.S. fans' biggest criticism of the game was the U.S. men's national team's kits last night. If you don't know what kit is, it's their jersey. That was the biggest complaint I got last night at Duffy's Implantation. You know, the team looked great, except aesthetically. I didn't like that USA flag on the front. And I was like,
are you gonna wait?
I'm happy for that. Thank you. Please have that problem all tournament long.
Why are you upset? Because why you want to buy a jersey and you don't like
the color scheme.
And you don't think you'll look good in that jersey? Because that's because literally anybody that says anything like this, Playboy, they're just upset because they're looking at themselves and like, ooh, how can I rock this fit?
Once again, happiest complaint of my life. That's all you could complain about is because you didn't like the aesthetic of the kit, because there was nothing to complain about if you're a U.S. men's soccer fan. Another thing I like about, and once again, this is one of my favorite things about the World Cup, is that it brings in a lot of people who are maybe casual fans, and maybe it turns people into big-time fans because they start watching, they start getting into it. But I like the casual fan, and look, we know who you are. You're not fooling anybody. You're the person that comes up to me and starts throwing out random knowledge about USA soccer or World Cup soccer, and you want to sound good, like, well, you know, traditionally, the U.S. doesn't play good up front. What does that mean? Well, I mean, traditionally, and then they start naming, like, you know, Gio Reyna, a great player. I'm like, yeah, but what do you like about him? I mean, you don't have to prove your knowledge of soccer to me, are you, or any of us. Just come and enjoy the games. It's okay. Like, you know, somebody's like, you know, the new coach is really cool. Huge soccer fan. I'm like, you talking about Mauricio Pochettino? Yeah. Love him. Always been a big fan. I'm not going to embarrass you by asking you where he coached before he was with the U.S. men's national team. Look, if you're a casual fan, that's cool. Be cool about it. And if you're a big-time fan, don't call out the casual fans by asking them deep, deep questions. You don't need to scare off people. It's like going to the gym. You know you're swole or you're not swole. You don't have to scare people off. But that game yesterday was something exciting for the casual or the big-time soccer fan. A couple things like I said, Vlad, the guys in the crowd and girls in the crowd acted a little weird. I'm not going to lie. Katy Perry snuggling up with I don't know if he's still the Prime Minister of Canada or if he's former Prime Minister of Canada. I don't keep up with the Katy Perry lifestyle. She seems to have a lot of weird things going on. But snuggling up with him, that was weird. Tom Cruise and David Beckham are apparently really good friends. Now there's
They got the anti-aging buddies.
Tom looks like he's aged a little bit, though.
Tom, even when he looks like he's Thomas Harvey, like 70 and looks like he's 54.
Once again, I don't want to get too political. Marco Rubio sitting right next to the president of FIFA. That was a little odd. At first, I was like, well, that makes sense. They're in Miami. And then I was like, but the game's not in Miami. It's in Los Angeles. A lot of mind-boggling things going on off the field. Why is Future and Tyla playing together before the game?
Because they probably paid them off money for them to do it. Also, Drake is also the big performer for the World Cup, so probably got his people's some bread by being involved in it.
Okay, that's why Future and stuff like that. Okay, but man, on the field, what a day for U.S. soccer. Probably the most complete U.S. men's soccer game in 100 years in the World Cup. Leading up to the World Cup, once again, Mauricio Pochettino was trying a bunch of different lineups, a bunch of different configurations. We're hoping that he figured it out because they did look a little uneven in some of these lead-ups to the World Cup. And I was thinking about this, Vlad. One of the things about U.S. men's soccer team, it has always seemed like win, lose, or draw in the past when it comes to the World Cup, it was a frustrating style of ball. You would win, but it would be, you'd lose, and you'd be like, you'd tie, you'd be, Last night looked just different. And I understand it's one game, but it looked like they had an identity. It looked like they had crisp passing. And yes, they have very good players on this team. And I think it's all coming together that you have a coach that knows what he is doing, has an idea, and you have very good players like Christian Pulisic, AC Milan, Weston McKennie playing for Juventus, Sergio Dest, even Chris Richards. He plays over with Crystal Palace in England. So the talent level is there. There were times when it was all guys that played, you know, locally or in lower leagues.
But here's the thing, right? You're right. The talent.
Every team does.
That's what I'm saying. The talent is there, but as good as the talent is, it still doesn't equal to the talent that these other countries possess.
That is true.
Okay, like, I'm sorry. They're just things, and that's their sport. That's always been their sport. Out down in right here in America, there's so many options. So
that is the difference.
Your best athlete could be playing another sport because they're that good in it. That's how I look at it. But as much as they get improved, they can improve. I still don't feel like they're gonna be there. You know, round of 16, that's their highs.
A lot of people are doing this. Well, you know, what's a successful tournament for the United States? You know, what do they need to do? And some people have said to get to that, win that first knockout round, get out of group play, win the first knockout round, get to the round of 16. Some other people are saying just beat someone you've never beaten, the likes of Brazil, Germany, Argentina. Win one of those games.
But that's in hope that you get that in a knockout round. That's the thing. It's like, okay, fine, get out of your group, win your group, or get one of the wild card spots in your group. Cool. But now when you're in a knockout games, you're playing that's when you're playing the best of the best. If you can win a game, tremendous experience, tremendous run in the World Cup. But if you don't, then you're just basically stuck where you've always been.
And that's why I'm saying this. We've said that the culture here in the United States sometimes hinders the U.S. national team. I'll tell you what I feel a successful World Cup for this U.S. men's national team is. I'm going to go shoot above everyone else. I'm going to say they need to get to the semifinals to make me truly happy. That would probably include beating a team you've never beaten, like a Germany, like a Brazil, Argentina.
Fam, I've seen craziness where there's like, oh, this is the route to get to Jersey for the final.
I'm not going that far.
That would mean
you would have to beat the likes of an Argentina, France.
Fam, in order for you to get to the finals, you're beating the likes. You're beating at least, like you said, you're beating either Brazil, a Portugal, an Argentina, Germany, España.
But you're having to do it two or three times.
That's what I'm saying.
That's the problem.
France.
Consistency is hard, yes.
Right. Like, you're going to have to beat one of them and hope that maybe they get upset. Like, to beat those teams that we just listed. Back to back, come on, man.
We see people do it, though. Morocco did it 4 years ago. We've seen Iceland make runs. We've seen Wales make runs in these tournaments. It's about matchups. For one game, we're going to feel good, and we're going to worry about Australia, 3 o'clock on Friday, right down here at the Citadel. Check out our social media, at Dan Day Radio, at Vlad2078. Come hang out with us. We'll be getting crazy. I'll tell you a team that I think is low-key. A lot of people do like them, but don't understand how dangerous they are. And I'll tell you why. It's Portugal.
Oh, my God. The talent.
Well, that's the thing. It's all about Cristiano Ronaldo.
No, it's not. That's the thing.
He has nothing on that team.
No, they are
loaded.
He's still number 7 on that team, but they're loaded that then it's not solely relying on him.
A lot of people are looking at it like, well, Cristiano Ronaldo.
He might be coming off the bench.
Oh, he is going to be coming off the bench. There's too much talent on that team. But a lot of people are looking, he's 41 years old. How can they make a run? Because they're not relying on Cristiano Ronaldo. They are relying on a stacked team.
Yeah, they got talent.
And Brazil, stacked as always. Over the past 20 years, Brazil has crapped the bed. That's why I say today, Morocco has a very good chance. Like I said, they're pretty close to each other, at least rankings-wise.
Brazil's going to win, bro.
Rankings-wise, they're very close.
And I low-key think they're going to make a run in this World Cup.
Every year they make a run, but I don't know.
I like them because of their manager. They got Carlo.
Yeah.
Mr. Ancelotti is, you know.
get ready for tonight too, Vlad. Haiti. I know a lot of people are clamoring for Haiti against Scotland. I'm a little nervous for you guys.
I mean, you're always going to be nervous.
I know, but you know what I'm saying?
We haven't been to the World Cup in a long time.
It's been 50 years? Is that what it said?
It's probably been 50. Yeah, this is why. Let me tell you this right now. If you're a Haitian in New York City, or just a Haitian anywhere that loves the Knicks and the home team, this is either going to be one of the greatest nights of your life or one of the worst nights of your life.
If you're a Haitian in New York City and you have the option of either going to the Garden or going to Foxborough.
No, I mean Garden.
There's only one.
Well, I mean, the game's in San Antonio, but, you know.
Okay, that's right. So you probably a watch party at
but
the
you
Garden?
Go, a watch How party at that? The Garden? No, the no, Garden you're right about that. A watch party at the Garden or a watch party for...
No, not a watch party. Or you can go up the road and go to the actual Haitian soccer game.
What, in Boston?
Yeah. That's still hard, though, because you could be in the Garden... When the Knicks win.
Or go to Boston?
Or go to Boston and watch Haiti play Scotland. That's tough. It sounds weird. Like, well, why would I go to a watch party? It's like, oh, that's tough.
Yeah, but I'm going to be stressful tonight, man. Big stress.
You're going to have a lot of stress at a lot of different angles, especially if Haiti can keep it close in the game against Scotland.
Haiti winning 2-1, man. God damn it.
Haiti's winning 2-1. You heard it here first. Put it in.
Haiti wins 2-1.
Haiti wins 2-1? Put it in. Put it in. Whoo, man. So we got today, we got some great games. Qatar, Switzerland. You expect Switzerland to be the better team, but you never know in these tournaments. Then Brazil, Morocco. Two teams that are very close in the rankings. Now, once again, it's settled on the field. Brazil has the great pedigree. Morocco has been the hot team as of, quote-unquote, late 4 years ago, going to the semifinals. Of course, remember, 4 years from now, they're going to be one of the host countries. So the country has invested a lot in that team, and it seems to be paying off. Then you get Haiti, Scotland, 9 o'clock. And then if that's not enough for you, at midnight, Turkey, Australia, as you got to scout the opponents if you're a USA fan. Oh, man. And then all day tomorrow, starting at 1 o'clock, we just got a waterfall full of great soccer. Argentina does not play until Tuesday at, I think it's 9 o'clock at night. So if you're a big
That's what I'm saying. Fan. A lot of the big teams, like Argentina, France, they're not playing for until like the beginning of this week.
Yeah. So that's something else to keep an eye on as these games play out. But last night was truly a masterclass from our team. Brace for Balogun. And he looked every bit of it. I thought at one point he did almost get a hat trick. But Balogun getting two goals in one game already makes him a top five United States men's soccer player scorer in one tournament.
Jeez.
So two goals makes him one of the top five all time for just one tournament. Because, you know, we have had some guys that have played over the years. And also, did you hear a little bit of the controversy? I mean, and, you know, once again, how you feel about the flag and how you feel about the national anthem. Canada's coach, who used to be an assistant for the United States, said that he used to have to force or try to nudge the players to sing the national anthem for the United States and to get into it. Clint Dempsey heard that on live TV. Clint Dempsey don't play.
What did he say?
Clint Dempsey said, first of all, I'm not going to listen to some traitor who left the team because he wasn't good enough and is coaching for the op. He goes, second of all, I was on this team. I broke my nose for this team. It was a dream for this team. Everyone took it very serious. Everyone cared about the national anthem. Everyone cared about the country. And he goes, Thierry Henry, of course. Mm. Frenchie goes, I'm going to borrow one of your lines. Stay in your lane. Mm. I mean, he called him out. Mm. I mean, but all of it's true. It has to hurt a little bit. We weren't good enough for the U.S. Now you're coaching for the opponent. And now you're talking noise out of school. You're not supposed to tell tales out of school. Clint Dempsey did break his nose in an international game.
That's okay.
Also, Clint Dempsey got that dog in him. He'll fight you.
No, well, come on, man. You don't know me. You know where I'm from, dog. I always love when him and Big Meech.
Oh, yeah.
Mike, when they were doing the Champions League pre and post. I like how they get, you know, their little banter, how they get, how they talk to each other and crack jokes on each other. But that was some pretty strong words by Mr. Dempsey. Like you said, he don't bite his tongue for no one.
Nope. I mean, they caught him. Not when I said off guard, they caught him live on the air, and he just instantly interacted and stuff like that. But kudos to Fox, by the way, for having like a 3 or 4 hour pregame for the U.S. Yesterday. I thought it was fantastic.
I thought that was a little too much. This 3 hours is a little too much about a, you know, but again, but I guess you got to do that for your, when you're the host, you know, for the host country.
They also had a gap between, I guess they were just filling the gap between the end of the Canada Bosnia game and getting ready for the U.S. game.
That game was at 3 p.m.
It ended at 5.
So don't need 3 hours, nearly 3 hours. Four. That's what I'm saying. You could have done it at 7 p.m. I would have been all right with it. But at 6, like, nobody needs to watch their local whatever Fox affiliate news is at 6 p.m.? You're making everybody go to their Peacock or CBS or ABC affiliate?
Another thing with this World Cup, I have no problem with the hydration breaks.
Yeah, people don't like that. Why, you want these guys to collapse? I want these guys to be at their best.
The argument was yesterday was at SoFi Stadium. It was indoors. It was air conditioned. But it's a FIFA-wide thing.
Oh, they closed the roof yesterday.
Yeah, they did.
Why?
They just chose.
It's 6 p.m. in L.A.
This is the thing. The hydration break, number one, for the soccer purists, I understand it. For me, I feel as though, number one, it is a way for advertisers to make more money. B, as a fan, to step away and catch your breath, just like the players. And you know, a little bit of C, that it also opens itself up a little more to the United States market, which also may be a reason why some of the people don't like it. Also, did you like the, what was the thing called, false identity foul yesterday?
By who?
It was against Paraguay.
False identity?
That's their word for flopping.
Oh, false identity is their word for flopping?
They got called for it, yeah. They got a yellow card. Mistaken identity. No, it's mistaken identity. That's it. So he flopped. They VAR'd it, brought the yellow card. No flopping in the old FIFA World Cup anymore. This is the thing I say. All the people that hate all that stuff, you sound like baseball fans a couple years ago. I don't want the pitch clock. Pitcher should be able.
That was me.
They should be able to throw over to first as much as they want.
That was me.
The base pass should be. And I said, you'll be all right. A year later, you're like Vlad. I can't live without the pitch clock.
Oh my God! You saw. I took it. I was like, man, I love the pitch clock. Same way. Listen, I'm the first to be. I'm a purist. But if the thing works, the new thing works, I'm gonna give it credit. I still may hate it, but I'm gonna give it credit. I hate playing, but it's exciting basketball. Mm-hmm.
And with all that yesterday, the soccer game began at 9 p.m. and ended pretty much exactly at 11. It was still a two-hour game. Beautiful. And a 4-1 win, by the way. Even more beautiful. Vlad, you're hoping to have a very beautiful night. I know you're worried about Haiti and Scotland, but really, your heart is more worried about the New York Knicks.
It is.
You are right on the edge. We're going to kind of check in and see how you're feeling next here on 104.3 FM WQAM.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.
World Cup may be the world's biggest sporting event, but the biggest sporting event tonight in this country is by far the NBA Finals Game 5 as the New York Knicks look to gentlemen sweep the San Antonio Spurs. Knicks have not won an NBA championship since the 70s. That means a lot of us were not alive for that. And very few people watched those championships, by the way, because they were not on TV. Tonight, you have the luxury of possibly watching the game on TV. And Vlad, being a lifelong Knicks fan from Brooklyn, this is your chance to finally exercise all those demons and enjoy. You were right on the cusp of a championship. You got to get across the finish line. I know the feelings. I've been there with my teams and luckily crossed some finish lines, also not crossed some finish lines. Right now, you probably speak for a lot of people in Knicks Nation. What's going through your head?
Excitement. Nerves.
Maybe a wave of confidence every once in a while?
No, not a wave of confidence. Like, not a wave of overconfidence, just like...
Not overconfidence, just like, we're going to win. I mean,
the way this team has played, it makes you feel comfortable in believing that. Yeah, you're definitely going to be confident in believing that they can win, but especially when you have one chance. You have three opportunities to win one game, but you know the saying, don't play with your food. Like, in this now, like, I don't – Knicks fans, real Knicks fans, don't give a crap where this series ends. You know, there's a lot of people, oh, I went into the end of New York in game six. And like, shut the hell up.
That's just people who like sports and not a particular
team. No, it's just people who just want to be part of the scene.
If my team wins on the North Pole, I don't care.
They just want to be part of the scene. That's to say that, oh, we were, oh, I was dead, so they could lie. No, F you up. You know, be quiet.
You didn't feel a little bit of a feel on Wednesday night when you came back from 29 points in the fourth quarter that, like, maybe, just maybe.
There was
a team of destiny.
There was, yeah, absolutely. We thought, man, this is destined, because you don't come back. Bro, let me say this. Sports gods, they don't play. They don't play. They taketh and giveth away, right? You come back from a 29-point deficit to take a 3-1 lead against a bunch of young kids who have never experienced this. This is either going to be a learning lesson for the Spurs, or they're going to show you that these young kids, and then, I mean, they're not punks, but these young kids are tougher than they are, because to lose like that, we've seen veteran teams never come back from a tough loss.
We've also seen teams come back from crazy losses like that too. So,
but I mean, think about it. We've seen teams like the Spurs. They had the chance to win games in 2013. They lost game six. Game seven was there. Game seven was for anybody. And then LeBron hit some two critical jumpers and sealed the deal. But as good as they played in game seven, they weren't there in game seven. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Celtics-Lakers. Before the Knicks comeback victory Wednesday night, the biggest comeback victory was Boston against the Lakers. And I was there in L.A. when the Celtics came back from a 22-point deficit to take a 3-1 lead. Because to me, if the Lakers win that game in a blowout, that series changes. Now it's 2-2. Game 5 is in L.A., and it's a best 2 out of 3. But once they lost that lead and lost that game, they were done. They won game 5, cool. They made it.
Both teams were corpses in that game.
Right. But did you remember what happened Saturday, game 6?
Oh, yeah.
They blew the Lakers out. They blew them out. These young kids got it. I mean, this was the key. They had 2 days off. Now, was the 2 days off good for them? I think it might have been good for the Knicks. But was the 2 days off good for the team, the Spurs, that they got to hear, they got to think about it, they got to dwell on it? Would it have been better if there was a day off between the games instead of 2 days off? Because to me, that high, if you're the Knicks, that high, you got to come down from that high, like, to lock back in. I don't know if you're going to be immediately do it if you know if the game was last night, but the fact that the game is tonight gives them an extra day to get their wits, get everything all, you know, organized, everything
settled down,
settled and everything. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting, man. It's been a great series. It's been one of my most watched series in a long time. Game 3 was the highest rated game, and I think since 1998, since the Bulls. And that Game 4 comeback was definitely watched by many. So we shall see.
One real quick more question. I never did this because I didn't want to jinx it. I never planned my celebration. Like, oh, if they win, what I'm going to do is I'm going to run out to this place, or
I'm not going anywhere. But I'm not going anywhere.
You have not planned on what you're going to do?
I know what I'm doing.
I
know what I'm doing, but I'm not going out.
Oh, not even that. Like, I was like, oh, you know, if they win.
Oh, no, I got champagne.
Right.
I got a bottle of champagne.
I don't even think about that.
No, I got a bottle of champagne and that's it.
I just let the emotions take over.
No, I got a bottle of champagne. But there are some sermons that will be definitely need to be told to certain haters.
Either way, though, you're going to see the Lord tomorrow on Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah. They're going to see Big Baby Jesus.
Got to go see the Lord with Jalen Brunson. Thankful or help me.
Big Baby Jesus Brunson.
Either way, Big Baby Jesus Brunson. Going to be a fun one tonight. 8:30, really 8:43. They're going to be tipping it off. Fun night. Got a fun day today. Got the Marlins, who are hotter than a $2 pistol, playing the Pirates up in Pittsburgh, looking for their 7th win in a row. Pre-game going to be starting at around 3:30. Vlad and I going to take a break and come back and lead you into that right here on Sports Day, 104.3 FM, WQAM. It has all started a big afternoon, evening all around the world because we got World Cup action right now between Switzerland and Qatar. World Cup continues, NBA Finals, more World Cup. Then you get the Stanley Cup tomorrow. Let's real quick run through the headlines as the U.S. men's national team did defeat Paraguay 4-1 yesterday. Balogun had a brace. They will take on Australia Friday, 3:30 in Seattle. Can't make it up to the Great Northwest. You can come to Citadel right here in Little River, and we will have a party. Just look for Vlad and I. We'll be running around. It's going to start around noon. We'll probably get there, I don't know, Vlad, maybe 12:30, 1 o'clock for the 3 o'clock kickoff, kind of hang out and just have a good time. That's at WQAM, 104.3 WQAM, at Dan Day Radio, at Vlad2078 for all the details. Going to have some cool soccer events surrounding that. You know, Seattle, it's going to be wild up there in Seattle, although it is going to be a noon kickoff Seattle time.
So 3 p.m. Eastern.
It's going to be Juneteenth Day, so most people will be on holiday.
Wait, the U.S. game against Australia?
Juneteenth.
It's 3 p.m.?
Yes.
Wow.
So I guess in Seattle, you know, you just get up early and get ready, go to some of the town centers. And
I mean, that's very weird. I might do some investigation on that. But I'll do that investigation after the next one, hopefully win the final. But it's kind of weird that they're doing a 3 p.m. game on Juneteenth.
Maybe they figure it's a United States holiday, so more people
will be... It's not a United States holiday. It's a black holiday.
It's a federal holiday.
Well, they just turned it federal, but it was really for the blacks.
I'm just stating facts. That it's
I'm just saying, but 3 p.m. Because, you know why? I didn't even realize about holiday until we got the text today from our boss and saying, hey, guys, get your timesheets in because next week's is a holiday. I'm like, wow. Oh, snap. It's Juneteenth. I was like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah. But I would think a game like that, you would probably put it in a time where you know that everybody's watching.
Last night was great.
Right. Last night was perfect. There was no other event going on. There was no Stanley Cup. There was no NBA final. You know, baseball is baseball. People are going to watch. But you had the sports world to yourself, at least here locally in North America. The U.S. game versus Paraguay was the only thing that everybody was focused on. Next Friday would probably be, next Friday might not be the same thing.
But on the West Coast, the game started at 6, then, of course, Mountain 7, Central Time 8, 9 o'clock over here. Made the night fly.
So then, therefore, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you're making this into an early game on Friday.
Yes. Even for 3 o'clock.
For even everybody. Even for us here.
Yeah, I mean, if you're
working. Because at noon, that's noon West Coast time, right? So to get up and everything, it's like 8 o'clock in the morning, you're getting ready for this. You know, even in a mountain time, that's only 2 hours, so that's a 1 p.m. game.
Yep, that's 1 p.m.
And then Central, 2.
Yep.
Yeah, bro. I don't know.
Still not going to stop anybody from watching.
No, you're going to watch. You're going to watch. You know, you're going to watch.
Looking for something to watch, 3 o'clock is right now, Qatar and Switzerland. Then you get Brazil, Morocco at 6 o'clock. Then 9 o'clock, Haiti and Scotland. Then if you want to hang around, midnight. Don't let them fool you.
Don't let them fool
you. I consider it tonight at midnight, but some people would say tomorrow at midnight.
Well, when is the next day? Is it midnight 1 second, or is it just at midnight?
Well, have they not learned anything from the University of Hawaii Rainbow Warriors football team?
11:59, baby.
11:59 p.m. Technically it's Saturday, but everybody knows it's Sunday.
Yeah.
You can straddle the fence on that one. But no, they put it at midnight. So, like last night, everybody at Duffy's, no, there's no game after Haiti and Scotland. And I was like, no, there is. They're like, look. And I'm like, well, when is the Australia-Turkey game? It's Sunday. What time? Midnight. I was like, come on, guys. Stop this nonsense.
So technically, that means the U.S. would play 2 days before Australia did.
Technically, yes.
Okay.
And Turkey.
But they're playing Australia next.
Yes, they are. Australia on Friday.
Right.
And that's going to be like
so Australia's playing on Sunday.
Yes.
Technically. So their next
quick
game.
Quick turnaround,
is, yeah. Yeah, it's a quick turnaround. That's what I'm saying. They play it on a Sunday, and then their next game is Friday, while the U.S. has been in the West. Yeah.
If this means anything, the game between Turkey and Australia is in Vancouver, just right across the bay from Seattle, so they don't have to travel very far. if that helps anything.
But LA to Seattle is like a 2-hour flight.
Right. I'm just saying.
Yeah, like, yeah.
You're Mr. Travel Time. I'm Mr. It Doesn't Matter.
I get it. I'm happy that they're being logistically smart with everything. I'm just thinking, that's nearly 2 days they have off. Well, okay, a day and a half before one team played and then the other team played.
If you ask me.
So technically speaking, the U.S. team is going to have 7 days off, a week, a full week off before their next game, while Australia is literally going to have 4 or 5 days off.
If you ask me, the U.S. only played half a game yesterday. Yeah, you could rest everybody at the end.
I'm just saying.
Christian Pulisic, though, he did
kind of.
Cautionary. Mm-hmm. He made the sign to the family and the fans. I'm okay. Look, Reyna came in. He was great. Pepe came in. He was great. The subs were equipping themselves pretty good. They said that they like playing for Pochettino because he makes a rule. If you play hard, practice hard, and do your best, your number will most likely get called. And if you're up 3-1 in the 85th minute, your number might get called too. Pretty darn good yesterday. Pretty darn good. 8:30 tonight, Vlad. Your Knicks need to be pretty darn good against the Spurs. That is game 5, and it is a chance for the Knicks to sweep. You were talking about it. You'd really like to see the Knicks just come out there and shut it down for everybody. Just
put
it on Spurs and say, we're in the class. We've got you beat. Let's just end this
first
now.
Four games, we've been outscored in the first quarter. We haven't had a lead in the first quarter. I mean, we haven't had the lead after the first quarter. It'd be nice if they just set the tone and let them know, like, hey, this is going to be a long night for you kids. And have doubt start creeping in their mind because every game they play now is an elimination game. So
you can squash their will. But, yeah, I think if you get up on double digits and start getting to the 20s in, like, the middle of the second quarter,
that doubt would start creeping in on them.
I don't even know if it would be doubt. I'd start to give up the ghost a little bit. But it would be nice for you, like last night for me with the U.S. team. Make it nice and easy for old Vlad tonight.
But you'll
watch every minute of it. You're not turning away.
I don't know. Listen,
I'll never turn away from a championship.
Why would you?
Especially if you haven't won one since, what, 74,
75? 73, bro.
Okay, I'm sorry. I gave you a year.
73.
First one was against the Lakers.
Both were against the Lakers.
Oh, they're both against the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Willis Reed.
Mr. Willis Reed.
Walt Frazier.
Clyde. Black Jesus, Earl Pearl Monroe.
And Bill Bradley?
The senator. Bill Bradley. Dave DeBuscher. Yeah.
Wow, what a squad.
You know who I don't want to see there? Phil Jackson. I don't want you to see your ass there, man.
Knicks legend. I want to see Charles Oakley there. Exercise the demons. Both sides. Oak, exercise the demons. Knicks.
I like to see that too, but I don't think that's happening. Buddy.
Well, of course, I don't know why Oak would travel all the way to San Antonio. It's
because he's not allowed in the garden.
It'll be fun tonight. It's definitely going to be fun to watch, man. I really am excited. I know a lot of people down here in Miami that have vowed their whole lives to hate the Knicks are cheering for the Knicks. I get a lot of people that come up like, but aren't you a Heat fan? Like, this year is different.
Wait a minute. The game's on Peacock, too. I'm talking about the soccer game, because I don't have TV here. But I have the Peacock.
There you go.
App. Yeah. Can't deny me. Can't keep a good man down.
Real quick, the Marlins are back to 534-34 in the season.
Bro, seven in a row?
They look to win their seventh in a row today at 410.
But they've won, I think they've six in a row and maybe 9 out of 10 or 8 out of 9. One of the two.
Something like that.
I think they only lost was to Tampa last Friday.
They did lose one to Tampa.
And they won the next two.
They shut out Arizona for two games.
Sandy was on. Let me tell you this. The hitting... They might not have any pop, like we say, even though but they have a lot of guys who can get on base, and not only when they get on base, they cause damage. They kind of remind me of the Cardinals back in the 80s with Vince Coleman and Willie McGee. Right, like
Ozzie Smith,
Tommy Hurt, all those guys.
Tom Pagnozzi.
Yeah, it's just that the fact of the matter is they're gonna make contact with the ball, and they're gonna hit the ball in places where your outfielders are going to have to run, and with their speed and they're consistent of always making contact, they're going to put runners on base
and have the pitcher stressed because of the runners on base, and they put in runs, man. They get
good
runs.
Hitters.
And also, you know what, something that Steven and Jack been mentioning, especially Steven, the fact that not only that they put in runs, but they score runs late in games. So whether it's you have a 3-2 lead, they get runs late in the game, late in the seventh, eighth, ninth, to extend the lead, get their bullpen enough runs for them to play with, to pitch to, and that's what they've been doing right now.
Analytics will show that could probably be a successful way through the season. So
through the injuries too, Dan.
Yeah, the rotation has taken some hits through the time, but you got the bullpen and you got Pete Fairbanks coming in to close out some games.
Yeah, today's a bullpen game right now, today.
They've been leaning heavy on bullpen games, and why not? They've been successful lately with the bullpen days, so why not? Stanley Cup Finals continue tomorrow at 8 o'clock. Carolina Hurricanes holding a 3-2 series lead over the Vegas Golden Knights. That has been one of those interesting series where I thought the Vegas Golden Knights were the better team the first four games, then Carolina way better in game number five. And now you look at it and you're like, Carolina just needs to play one more good game, and they got a championship, their second overall championship. So there you go.
I mean, how many? Didn't they have like 2 weeks off?
Yeah, they had a two-week off period, yeah.
So it's pretty much the teams that had like, you know, rest.
No, they had literally 14 days.
No, what I'm saying, teams that had rest are the teams that have been winning.
Surprise, surprise.
Do you know what that means? Don't play with your food. When you have a chance to eliminate somebody, eliminate them. I will always take rest. I will always take the rest.
Always take that rest. I mean, that's kind of a cardinal rule of any for most sports, that, you know, you can get the rust off pretty quick, especially in a series. You know, one game maybe, it's a little tough, but long series, yeah. Detroit Red Wings captain Dylan Larkin has issued the team a list of three teams he prefers to be traded to: Vegas Golden Knights, Minnesota Wild, and, oh yeah, Florida Panthers. Bill Zito, get this done. I believe in you. Mm-hmm. You got to. And you got College World Series today. Right now, Oklahoma and Alabama are playing tonight. Texas, Georgia, and UFC 250 starts at 8 tomorrow night from the White House lawn. So you got a lot going on, not only today, but tomorrow. It's a great weekend for sports. But tonight, Vlad will be hopefully not on pins and needles for very much longer, because hopefully the Knicks, for his sake, will take care of business. Some people, though, hoping the Spurs can go in there and extend this series so we get a little more basketball to go along with our soccer and our hockey. I'll be sitting back, relaxing, and enjoying it all. Might go to the beach for a little bit, then get ready for this 6 o'clock soccer game, then the Knicks, then the Australia versus Turkey game, and then all day long tomorrow, Vlad, it's hockey and soccer. We got baseball next, though. Marlins, 7-game win streak possibly, taking on the Pittsburgh Pirates. We're not on tomorrow, Vlad, so good luck tonight.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Hussein.
I hope you're celebrating. I will not text you win or lose, because I know with you lose, you don't need to hear me say anything, and when you win, you're already feeling too good. You don't need that. So I'll be there with you, though, in spirit. So I guess for my cousin, I'll say it. Go Knicks. I don't know if I'm
ready. Hey, shout out to Switzerland. They just scored a goal.
All right.
1-0.
We'll be back next week. Of course, all the details at Vlad2078 at Dan Day Radio. For my cousin Vladimir Lusso, I am Dan Day. This has been Sports Day on 104.3 FM WQAM.
Later, fools. Slug.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong, because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled-up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.